A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Gizrael of Cherry Hill. Today's daf, Shabbos Tes Zayin, Shabbos 16a, pagination 31. But I will ask your indulgence if we could start on the previous page, literally turning a page back, so that we're starting on Tes Vav Amad Aleph, 15a, pagination 29, to get our bearings. Our topic is glass. What is the halachic status of glass in halacha? Specifically, our Gemara is going to address the concept of tumah. If something, a dead body, would touch it from the outside, from the inside, what kind of halachic status does it have? And by extension, a discussion that's not formally addressed by our Gemara, but is addressed by other Gemaras, particularly in Avodah Zarah, what is its status if you buy it from a non-Jew in upgrading it for the kosher kitchen? Does glass have to be toveled? We know in practical halacha it does, but how did we arrive at that? So the Gemara over here says, it's the last quarter of the page. There's a two dots. Yosef ben Yoezer, Ish Tzereide, Yosef ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim. These two rabbis. Gozru Tumah al Eretz Ha'amim. They made a legislation of Tumah regarding areas outside of Eretz Yisrael. Va'al Kalei Zuchuchis. And on glass vessels. So that's our piece from Amud Aleph, and we're ready to turn to the next page. There was a legislation about glass vessels. Let's take a look at the Gemara on Amud Beis. We're pagination 30 now, Tesvav Amud Beis 15b, about 12 lines from the bottom. After the two dots at the end of the line, the next line begins, Kalei Zuchuchis Mai Taima Gazu Behu Rabbanan. Why indeed did the rabbis legislate against glass vessels that they should acquire tumah, impurity, tumah? Amrav Yechanan, Amrav Reish Lakish, the explanation is, Ho'el tchilas biryasan min hachol, since glass is made out of sand, Shavinu rabbanan kilchili cheres. They compared it to earthenware. And that's why it has tumah. Now, let's think about this with a little bit of background. If a vessel is made out of metal, then we know that it becomes tameh from the outside, from the inside, once it's touched. You touch the metal vessel, it becomes tameh. Likewise, by extension, trying to make it extremely practical, if you buy a metal vessel from a non-Jew, what is its status as a vessel? It has to be toveled. It has to go to mikvah. So you have a knife, the blade, even if it's got a wooden handle, for example, but the metal, typical spoon, fork, etc., would have to be toveled. A metal pan for baking has to be toveled when it's purchased to make it ready for the kosher kitchen. Kli cheres, earthenware, works differently. Earthenware does not become tameh by touching it on the outside. It becomes tameh, not even when it touches it on the inside, not from touching. It becomes tameh because the item is in the airspace of the vessel. Obviously, if it's touching it from the inside, I guess it's in its airspace. But the point is, airspace makes the kli cheres tameh. Many say the explanation, philosophically, what's the explanation? I mean, it's a pasuk, but how do you? What's the logic? The logic is that earthenware intrinsically is not valuable. The clay that created the earthenware is not valuable. What's valuable is that it's been fashioned into a vessel. And therefore, it becomes tameh functioning as a vessel. When something is hung in its airspace, that's when it becomes tameh. In contrast, a metal item, again, philosophically, you could have a metal bar of gold and it has value. And it has nothing to do with the fact that it was created into a vessel. And therefore, as a vessel, it functions even in its walls, in its capacity as walls. It has a value, and when you touch that, it becomes tamei. Just a side concept of philosophy. Now, Kli Cheres not only is different in Tumah, which is our primary sugya over here in Shabbos, but it's also different, as we mentioned, by extension, the discussion of whether you have to tevel something that was purchased from a non-Jew to upgrade it for the kosher kitchen. Earthenware does not have to be teveled. So a person has china. There's a discussion because it has a glass glaze. But essentially, china does not have to be teveled. It could become non-kosher. But if it's new china, so then it doesn't have to be teveled because it's earthenware. And earthenware has its own rules. It's not mentioned in the Parsha, in Parshas Matos, when the list of things that has to be tevled is mentioned. Earthenware is not there. Metals are listed over there. And therefore we have a difference between metal and earthenware. Says our Gemara, glass is not mentioned in any of this discussion. But the rabbis legislated against it. It's a derabbanan. Because they compared it to Kli Cheres. What's Kli Cheres? The earthenware is made from clay, coming from the ground. It's the sand of sorts. And glass is sand, heated to high temperature. And therefore they compared it, and they wanted it to be like Cheres. So it becomes Tameh. And again, likewise by extension, our parallel sugya from Avodah Zarah, they legislated as well that it needs tevila in a mikvah to upgrade it for the kosher kitchen. Let's move on to today's daf, to Zayin Amad Aleph 16a, pagination 31, where the Gemara asks, starting from the bottom of the previous page, Ela me'ata, if that's the case, now on top, Lo litamu migabon. They should not become tamei from the outside. What's the question? If glass is tamei because it's compared to Kli Cheres, pottery, so then the rule by pottery is that it only becomes tamei from ear space. Why would glass, and the Gemara assumes this is true, become tamei from the outside touching as well? Not only from touching it from the inside, but also from touching it from the outside. Why would that be? If the whole comparison was to pottery, pottery doesn't become tummy from the outside. It's only when you go inside into its ear space. Alama Tanan, we learned, Kli Cheres, skip to the end of the next line, Metamim u'metamim me'avirehem, avir is ear space. It becomes tummy from its ear space. U'metamim me'achareim ve'metamim me'gabeim, u'shivrasim me'tarasim, Kli Neser, Kli Cheres, hu detemasan shaveh, Avamidi acharina lo, and by glass there's no such thing. Why not? If you're comparing glass to pottery, it should become tamei only from its ear space and not from its external contact. Answers the Gemara, I think it's six lines from the top, the second word, Amri. Kevon dechinish dabru yesh lahem takana. Since when glass breaks, they have a way to fix it. How do you fix it? High heat. Shavinu kichli matches. They compared it to metal because it works. It, even though it's made from sand, I understand, but its way of dealing with it, its operative method, is very similar to metal. You could put in a patch, so to speak. You melt it. You can manipulate it, similar to metal. And therefore, when they made the legislation, it started off as a legislation as a result of pottery, but the method of the legislation was to work with it like matches, like metal. Because in certain ways, it's like metal. Now, let's turn the page, and we have an alternate understanding why glass is not similar to pottery in the way it becomes tamei from the ear space, and rather it becomes tamei from contact. Rav Ashi Omar, the top of the next page, La'olam l'chlicheres damu. They compared it to klicheres pottery. Udikakashalach, and I understand you're asking me a question. Lo litamu mi gabon. It should not become tameh from contact from the outside, because pottery does not become tameh from contact from the outside. And he answers a fascinating answer. Hoil v'nira tocho kiboro. Because glass you could see through it, so the inside is like the outside. The outside is like the inside. It's a bit of a machlekes rishonim how to learn these words, but because glass is see-through, one can ask, what about glass that's not see-through? But intrinsically, glass is see-through. Therefore, the outside becomes an opportunity of tuma, just like the inside, because you could see through it. It's considered the same thing. Bottom line, glass is an anomaly. It wasn't in the original law, but it was rabbinically legislated. I want to point out a fascinating case just to appreciate the role that glass sometimes plays. Sometimes when a person is toveling things in a mikveh, again, not so much the tumah case, which is not so applicable nowadays, but the case of upgrading to a kosher an item to be used in a kosher kitchen. So you have the question, does this item need to be toveled in the mikvah, and therefore will I recite a bracha when I am tovel it? And there is discussion about many items. Fascinating discussion about plastic. It's not mentioned in the Torah. Fascinating question about other metals, such as aluminum, not mentioned in the Torah. But glass is definitive. And many of our metals, we're not toveling silver and gold all the time, but glass is one of the typical things that's being toveled on a regular basis. And glass item would enable you to recite the bracha, because it's definitive, albeit derabbanan rabbinic, but it's definitive that it needs tevilah. And then all the other items you could be tevel at the same time on the basis of the bracha that you recited on the glass item. Yeshakoach, have a great day.